This is your wake-up call.
Wake the fuck up. The Breakfast Club. The show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earn that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
We in the motherfucking house.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Make sure you donate to UNICEF to help save children's lives this holiday season.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
We got a special guest in the building.
And he came in here playing Pokemon Go.
No, he did.
Boy, cute. Yes,
he
was
scanning
me up and down.
Off top. I'm trying to catch you, man. Yeah, man.
Now, I was watching the interview you did in L.A. on the rail with Letty. You said you wasn't enjoying the moment. Are you enjoying the moment now?
No.
Still not?
There's a lot of, man, it's rough, man. You lose one of your homeboys, bro. Like, that ain't easy, man. You don't just be like, all right, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm. You rapped about that on the album. He went to prison, right?
For 100 years, man.
Jesus Christ.
I just got the news that he got 100 years the day my album dropped.
Damn.
I'm supposed to feel like that. I've been eating like once a day. Like, just being my homie before I even know he was my homie. Like, he the reason I'm even rapping about this lifestyle. He the dude to put me on the set. Like, he only like 3 years older than me, but he's like my original big homie. Like, real talk.
You feel like what? Some survivor's remorse, maybe? Survivor's guilt? That you made it and he, you know.
Nah, not really that. It's just more so that just my nigga gone. Like, he gone and all I could do is just hope for an appeal.
I mean, you still got to enjoy the moment. You got a daughter right now, so that could be some kind
of
happiness.
Man, I'm out here and she just broke her arm.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying?
How
like,
did she break
just
her arm?
You know what? You don't have time for Pokemon Go, Q.
You said what?
You don't have time for Pokemon Go. You got too much real
man,
stuff
I'm trying to keep
life.
My mind off
How
of it, but it's like...
How did she
break her arm, though? Being a kid, you know, 7-year-old, like... That was one of the reasons why I told people I stepped away from music after my last album, because it's just like I'm always doing this type of stuff and moving around and I'm missing out on my family. Like,
important.
I was supposed to be there. Like, my daughter broke her arm.
All right.
And she got like somebody else taking her to the hospital.
All right,
sitting
all right.
in the hospital with her. I'm supposed to be there.
Right.
This is supposed to make me sad talking about it. You know what I'm saying?
Really
so what'd you do? You FaceTime her while she's in the hospital? Or?
Yeah, FaceTime her. She was asleep most of the time. You know what I mean? She on the dope. They got her on the dope and stuff. She was going to get ready to go for surgery.
Don't say medicine.
I mean, it's dope, man. It's dope. It is what it is.
But just think, before FaceTime, something like that happened, and you can, at least now, that's a lot of a connection, like that you get to be on the FaceTime and see. Modern technology has really helped a lot with relationships in general.
Nah, for sure, off tops.
Well, let's talk about the new album.
Blank Face.
Blank Face.
Blank Face, 17 songs. You must have had a lot of songs done to be able to pick 17.
I mean, yeah, we were going to do a deluxe and all that, but I'm just like, well, I'll do a deluxe. That's like the label stuff that you're worrying about, the sales and stuff. I don't care about that stuff.
You never care about the label, anybody.
Give me.
I care about them.
They put me in this position. Don't get it twisted. Like, TDE put me in this position. I wouldn't be where I'm at without TDE.
Like, you know how I know you care? Because you did the song Studio. That was a huge hit song off the last album. Mm-hmm. And then I could tell on this song you have another hit, which you talked about, the song with Miguel and Justine
Scott. That record tough, bro.
Although
overtime.
You said you didn't want to
No, I didn't like
it
at first because, look, see, what I said at the listener party, it sounded, I had to say stuff so brief, it came out wrong. But I didn't like the song until Miguel and Justine got on. I'm the one
they wasn't on it.
I'm the one that asked for them. I was singing the hook. Then we had, as you can tell, Kendrick still got background vocals. Kendrick was in the background, too. It was just a little like, nah, I'm cool on that. Like, y'all know about to force me to use Kendrick on my album with the girl song.
Yeah, I can see why that would have sounded a little weird.
Like,
Kendrick
off
on
that.
Overtime?
Like, I'm arguing with Dave. I'm like, bro, that's a bootleg studio. He like, no, it's not. I'm like, bro, it's definitely a bootleg studio.
Like, I don't think it sounds like studio,
you know,
but it would sound weird with Kendrick on it.
But nah, I'm the one that was like, get me Miguel at least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you weren't saying I hated Miguel and Justine Skye on
there. What it is, these bunk-ass websites, they put it out there. They didn't even put Justine name. Schoolboy Q hates the song with Miguel. I never mentioned Miguel. Like, I never. But also, I had to say it brief so I could understand why they would put it like that. you could tell that they're looking for.
It's a great headline.
They're looking like, yeah, exactly. But he doesn't like song with Miguel.
Did Miguel hit you like, bro? I thought you said you liked.
Yeah, we hollered at each other or whatever. I was wrong in the situation. I would have been like, I would have hollered at him. You know what I'm saying? Somebody says something like that to me, ain't nothing you can say to me. Like, you know what I mean? So I had to holler at him and let him know.
You
like,
probably have Miguel feeling
Miguel
insecure. Miguel's like,
what did I do wrong?
No, I wasn't like that.
Saying this better?
No, I wasn't like that. I'm just like, I had to apologize to him because it came out wrong.
Yeah.
As a man, you gotta know when you're wrong when you do something. You know what I mean? I was wrong.
How'd you go with Ye?
Man, we just always used to run into each other, and I just had a top call him. Like, I'm not about to go ask somebody like Kanye West status. Like, yo, let me get your number. We should do something. Like, Kanye is up here.
You're pretty
I'm
big
like,
out there, schoolboy.
Nah, not like Kanye, bro. Kanye is a legend. Like, he done it over and over and over and over and over since I was in like. First year out of high school, you know what I'm saying?
You're right. You know your place in the game.
Exactly.
Don't let anybody gas you up too much.
Like, I hate when new artists, like, no disrespect, but if you just got on the, like, you not even made the freshman list, you asking for my number and you talk about, let's go to the woo-wop, let's do this. Oh, yeah. You should, like, no, I'm cool. Like, nah, like, unless it's like, unless I know who you are and it's dope. Like, don't just ask me for my number and like, no, we need to get one. Like, no, we don't need to get one. Like,
you still think you're underrated?
I mean, still, yeah, so much because people confuse gangster rap with no substance now. But we got the most substance than any artist because, for the simple fact, we talking about our life. People just be talking about what's on the news. I be hearing niggas be rapping double time and, like, that's bars. Like,
now you did.
I got better, I'm way more cheddar, I get more greener, I got more. If you're like, what the f***? He said, all that's from double time to confuse niggas. I thought you ain't saying shit. My bad.
Step it up lyrically on this album, though.
Of course, I had to, man. This is... I felt like people were sleeping on me, man. Even though I had the big record, I just got to come back harder. I just felt like I just had to come back harder, stay focused, man.
Now, you have had some experiences with aliens because I see you're on Action Bronson's show that he's doing. I had no idea.
Oh, they be popping up in L.A. all the time.
Oh, yeah, so they say. I mean, I don't believe in none of that alien.
You don't believe
it? Stop it.
I don't believe an alien. Don't get me wrong. I don't think we're the only species in the world. I do not believe in no... alien has a spaceship flying over LA just seeing what's cracking in the city.
We got planes that can fly over other countries and all around the world.
But we not going to Mars. Talk about what's cracking.
That we know
what's
of.
Going on. Never, oh, they see us. We got to get out of here.
So you never had any experience. What about with ghosts or something?
Nah, I never had experience with ghosts, none of that bullshit. I done dreamed all that. But you know what I'm saying? I never.
You had sex with a ghost too, like Bobby Brown?
Nah, I don't know what he's talking about.
Bobby Brown had sex with a ghost.
No, man, I need some of that he got. Yeah, that, whatever you got.
It's called crack.
It's called
throw it over
your weed.
You it's called a
sex with a ghost. That mean you ain't getting no STD. Run it.
All right, we got more with Schoolboy Q. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You have one more day to make your tax-deductible donation in 2016.
Make use of your tax-deductible donation before it's too late with this easy UNICEF donation.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
Schoolboy Q is in the building. Now, does it freak you out a little bit when you go to your concert and people are looking like you with the hat like
that? Yeah, bro, it's weird, bro. People wearing the circle, the John Lennon glasses. I'm starting to see ugly beards now. Like,
oh, that you got to salute Philly for that. You can't take credit for that.
I'm not taking the credit for it. I'm just saying when I'm at my shows, I see that. And it's a little weird. I'm seeing dashikis now. Like, they already took the bucket hats from me. Everybody wearing the bucket. I'm like, bro, like, I had to put that away.
That's why you don't wear it no more?
Nah, it was getting a little too weird everywhere I go. It's just like, everybody knew it was me off the rip. Like, oh, that's Schoolboy Q. And I took the bucket hat off. People don't even bother me no more.
What's the science behind the dashikis?
I'm black.
Okay. I'm just making sure you named the album called John Mirror. You didn't have nothing behind that, so I'm just asking.
That's what you said on Twitter. You just be paying $5. They just cost $5.
Yeah, $5 off of Amazon.
How you get them to match your sneakers, though?
I get every color possible on Amazon. I go to every week. I check Amazon. Do they got any new ones? Nope. They got any? I done brought them all. I ain't seen no new ones now. But I'm going to reload it.
You ain't got no throwback dashikis?
I got a couple throwbacks, like exclusive ones. That's expensive. I got a couple exclusive dashikis now.
Remember when Kunta won the Super Bowl in 1737?
I got a Kunta one, too. Oh, everything I got one.
Is that Kunta on it?
Nah, it's just his face.
Oh, his face. Oh, okay.
Oh, gosh. Now, this Michael Jordan crying meme, people thought that was your album cover. Yep. You put that out there like that for people to think that as a joke?
Yeah, I
did.
Or
did you really want to do that, but you knew Michael Jordan was
I mean, look, yeah. The whole thing was I had a concept behind it because the album is obviously called Blank Face. Mm-hmm. And I was supposed to put out a bunch of series of pictures, but we put the first one out and everybody jumped on it like, oh, cute. That's the cover. I never said it was the cover.
All right.
So I'm like, all right, y'all stupid. Not my fans. The websites. Like I said, they TMZ now. Like, you put something out, they want to be the first one to do it. They want the gossip. They want the, you know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, these websites are stupid. Then I threw the Donald Trump one out, and I was like, deluxe cover. Just now I'm trolling now. Because y'all messed my whole thing up that I was trying to do. I had a whole bunch of pictures, bro. And with the first picture we put up, the first 2 minutes, they talking about album cover.
But, like, you know, that just means people are excited in a way, too.
I guess, man. But
you put something out, and immediately everybody jumps on it. They're like, oh, this is the album cover. The album's coming. It's exciting for people. Now, imagine you put that out, and nobody said nothing.
That would have been tight. Because they would have got everything I got that I wanted to do with it. It would have been tight. But, I mean, it is what it is, man. I'm new to all this media stuff still, like.
I can tell. That's why you got flip-flops on, though.
Oh, yeah, off tops. Like,
well, you cool. He like, man.
Yeah, I'm not about to come in here. Like, when I'm going to come in here, y'all know I'm getting money. Like,
Now, what does the blank face actually symbolize? Because on the album, you got a line where you say all lives matter.
Oh, no. People got that and they mixed it up. The whole song, first off, the song is called Black Thoughts.
Okay.
The whole song is about Crips and Bloods. After I said all lives matter, I said both sides.
Both sides, yeah.
So what does that give you? What does that bring to you? What am I talking about?
Bloods and Crips.
Exactly, which means I'm still talking about black lives. I flipped the whole little ignorant saying all lives matter into making it still black lives. You get what I'm saying? People not dissecting the lyrics. People are so easy at listening to songs.
They just hear all lives
because
matter.
Because rappers are whack. People just hear it and they just like, oh, you said all lives matter. Yep. You didn't even listen to the song.
The
title is called Black Thoughts. So you saying it's only two skin colors? Like, you know what I mean? Like, people always making it white and a black thing. It's not about that. Like,
are you disgusted with the music industry? Because you keep saying these rappers are so whack.
No, they are. Like, not everybody whack, bro. I just see what everybody's doing. Everybody's trying to make older music. Like, oh, I'm trying to sound like this dude. I'm trying to sound like that dude. Are they doing the same thing? Like, auto-tune and... Like, everybody, that's the new wave now. Like,
I think the game's a lot better now, though. Because of guys like you, because of Kendrick, because of Vic Mensa and Chance. Like, I like a lot of albums that came out this year.
No, don't get me wrong. It are the people that's dope, but it's so much whack out there. No content, no nothing. And then it makes the listener lazy. Mm-hmm. And like, everywhere you go, everybody asks you, so what did your album mean before it even dropped? Like, everybody been asking me, what does Blank Face mean? I'm like, you figure it out first. It only been out a week. Listen to it.
Now, I'm going to take a crack at this blank face thing. I think it means that, like, you don't want to be profiled. You don't want to be judged. You don't want to be stereotyped. It's like, don't put me in no boxes. You don't know what I am.
Part of that's a big percentage of what the album is, like 80%.
Got it.
Well, the album is out right now. Make sure you pick it up. And we appreciate you joining us, Schoolboy. You've been the same since you first came out, man. Every time, you're the same guy. You always show us love, and we appreciate that.
Man, thank y'all for not doing me like the other rappers and making me
feel
weird.
That's because you make good music. You make good music, and you don't do dumb shit when you're not in the booth.
Yeah, people, like, I've been looking at some of these interviews, I'll be like, damn, I'll be ready to get down. Like, some of this y'all say to people, we got to get down, like, off top. We will have to get down.
You make good music.
Y'all scallops, man. Y'all make an artist feel weird. Like, y'all do answer questions not interested in the answer, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, ask a question and don't even care what the dude is saying, like. So I appreciate y'all for even, you know what I'm saying?
If you don't put no thought into your music or your craft, why should we put thought into our questions when we interview you?
True.
But we put thought into our questions,
that's
y'all.
So ignorant.
We put thought into our questions, man.
You said
well, that's
that.
My mindset.
He's supposed to say that. See, you answer the questions like, you answer and say stuff like me, and he answer and say stuff like Dave and Top or one of them. Angela Lee just the token female that need to be on the show, I feel like. Angela Lee just, she's just here to just tell you, like,
oh, man.
Like, yeah, so I heard you named your album Blank Face. It's like,
I did not ask questions like that.
Angela, like,
now
Angela,
giving,
like,
now I'm giving you the blank face.
No. Angela, like, she loves music, but I don't think she cares to interview nobody. I can tell she genuinely loves music, but she doesn't care to interview
nobody.
She'd
rather go out and drink with you.
Yeah, exactly. She wanted to go and listen to the music. She ain't trying to interview.
I definitely went to the listening session.
Yep, you was the only one. See, she do that type of stuff.
I show
myself.
I like to show support. I understand that because you come up here, take time out to promote. I like to go out and show my support as well for people. If I care about your music, I care about you. I like to make sure I go out of my way to go and do that. So.
All right. Well, it's the Breakfast Club. It's Schoolboy Q.
Happy holidays. You're listening to the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. This year is a time of giving, so make sure you donate to UNICEF to help save children's lives this holiday season.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
We got a special guest in the building.
Young M.A.
The other day I was DJing a team party, and the DJ, shout the little man, was DJing before me. He played the instrumental of her record, and these kids rapped the whole song.
Which
from
record?
Top to bottom. Ooh.
Now, I'm hearing your name all through New York City, man. I'm always interested in knowing, you know, who young rappers like yourself were influenced from coming from New York.
50 Cent. That was my favorite rapper of all time, man. Definitely when I was younger.
All right.
So what got you rapping? Because, I mean, you're a girl. So as a kid,
oh
I mean.
Gosh.
Oh, yeah. No girls, right? Wow. Ever.
Can I finish what I'm saying? You know, usually females are into Barbie dolls and toys, but you got
wow.
tattoos.
Wow.
You know, oh, my gosh. Envy, just stop. Wow. I don't want you to bury yourself
in wow. tattoos I have, all on your neck wow. and everything.
I wasn't into Barbie dolls.
I had Barbies. I had Barbies, though. I had Barbies. But I used to, what I used to do was cut their hair off and make them into boys because my mom never bought me the Ken doll. Cut the hair off, drew a mustache on them. I'm dead ass.
Yeah, trans
serious.
Barbies.
Did you cut the boobs off and everything?
Nah, I ain't know how to do that. I just put a shirt on and call it a day.
Why wouldn't you buy you the Ken doll?
Man, I don't know. Black mothers ain't think of Ken and Barbie. They just got the Barbie head, take that, and it was all black.
Was she a single mother?
Definitely.
That's why.
There's no kid around.
She didn't know they had a kid. Like,
that's
now,
a fact.
Now, you played football.
Yeah.
Tackle football?
Yeah.
That wasn't strange?
Wow. Not to me. It was normal.
You put equipment on and hit up and the boys hit you and everything.
This is good. I'm going to sit back and watch Envy just keep on making a grade for this. This is good. Go ahead.
I'm asking because yeah. what got you in the football?
Envy's like, did you get your period? How did you
yeah.
Yo, if my daughter asked me to play football, I don't think I would be like, all right, come on, we're going to put this equipment on and go play.
Being around the boys, everybody playing football, we all playing football. Mm-hmm. And they was just like, yo, you should get on the team. Because all my friends, they was playing football. Mm-hmm. They was on the team. I was the only one that didn't get on the team. I thought, you know, I'm a girl. I can't get on the team. So we made it happen. Mm-hmm. And I was the first girl on the football team.
Oh, hold on. You actually played organized.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I thought you just made it in the streets.
No, I said equipment on and everything.
Oh,
no,
wow.
So you actually in the NFL.
No, not the NFL, but you was like with JV or...
I was middle... What's that called? Minors. I was a minor.
What
yeah.
position you played?
Running back. I wanted to play that. They put me as wide receiver. I mean, I could throw a football, too. Yeah, I wanted to be quarterback. I wanted to be anything if they can put me in that position. But you know
see,
what
so
I mean?
Envy saying he wouldn't let his daughter do that because it feels dangerous.
Yeah,
is that
it feels
what you're
dangerous
saying?
As hell. My mm-hmm. little baby girl.
You ever hurt anybody?
I even got into a fight with one of my homeboys from tackling him too hard. He got upset. I guess he was a little embarrassed. Nah, I'm dead ass. He tried to get up and fight me. You know what I mean?
Because
I popped him in front of everybody, like... Boom, hit him. Everybody yeah. from the buildings yelling like, oh! So he felt some type of way. He's like, damn, push me. And then we just started fighting.
But you seem like the type of woman that was never, like, they never looked at you as a female. They accepted you as one of the dudes. Like, that's all.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this probably wasn't that embarrassing.
But we got to see this picture.
I got a picture.
I want to see this football.
I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
That's how you cast
wow. Sometimes I question why I was born this way. I never wanted to wear skirts and shoes, makeup, nails, dresses, even wear my hair a certain way. I always wanted to wear jeans and sneakers, stud earrings, hand a ponytail, and play with the boys. I never wanted to be a cheerleader. I wanted to play football.
Is this you saying this, Charlamagne,
wow.
or is this
Nah, he husband? Really reading, though.
Do you know at a young age that you like girls at a young age?
It was like first grade.
First grade?
Yeah. I thought I was weird, though. You know what I mean? Like, I thought I was the only one in the world that felt like that.
Really?
So I never said nothing for years to come, years to come. Years.
I can't tell. You seem like a veteran.
That was the only truth. It's crazy because I used to act so much like a boy mm-hmm. that people used to be like, you're like, you gay. Like, why you like stop denying it? You're gay. Like, it's obvious. You know what I mean?
Well,
I still
had boyfriends before, and you.
Yeah, I had boyfriends before.
You had sex before?
Yeah, no. Say, hey.
Wait,
no.
Whoa.
Wow.
Nah, I never did.
Really?
I swear on my dead brother.
You're a real virgin.
Yeah.
Like, you got a lot of lesbians that had some penis, and you know.
Nah, exact kids and all that. Yeah, but I never did.
Wow. What does your mom say? That she knew early on, clearly, also.
Yeah, my mom been knew. She used to try to get me to say it. Like, she wouldn't, like, force it, but she'll be like, you know, if you like girls, you know, you can always tell me. Mm-hmm. And I used to be like, nah, mom. Like, why you keep saying that? Nah. And I mean, she really knew when I had went to Gay Pride one day. Like, come on, now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, mom, everybody goes to Gay Pride. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But she knew. And I used to be scared to tell my moms because I didn't know. I knew my moms wasn't that type of mother to be like, oh, I don't like you, you know what I mean? I'm a, you know, just ignore you, whatever, whatever. She didn't. You cannot know and be okay with it, but then when you know, it could change, you know what I mean, your input on it.
So. And what got you in the writing?
I don't know. One day I just started writing rhymes in my room and playing with it and pause.
Playing with what, young man?
I knew you was
what
ready.
What were you playing with?
Yeah. But now, once I started listening to 50 Cent, that's when I really was like, oh, no, I want to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm. Like, you write your own rhymes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it hard for you to get signed since you're not your typical female artist?
I know you were signed.
I'm not signed.
I should say for people to hear your music, to get on.
Because
your records are popping out there.
I've been doing music for, like, the past few years where I was originally, like, a little more feminine, you know what I mean, with the music and... It's what I was told to be, you know what I mean? I couldn't come out aggressive. I couldn't come out, like, you know what I mean, being who I am today.
They try to tell you to conceal, like, don't tell people you're a lesbian.
It was like, be a lesbian and say you like guys, too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was like, do both.
That's whack.
It was like points where they'd be like, you know, it's going to be times where you might have to throw on a dress. And at that time, don't get me wrong, I thought that's what it was. Like, right. I just was like, okay, you know what I mean? But part of me was like, I don't think I'm going to do this. That's when I started to be in the streets more, and then it was just like, I was just going to leave music alone, like, forget it. It just kept coming back to me. You know, they say if you let something go and it come back, it's meant. Right. Music kept coming back to me. People kept hitting me like, yo, you don't do music no more? And I just kept putting out music, and I had to get a little more aggressive on the tracks. I'm like, I don't think they hear me. Like, mm-hmm. It's what I do. Like, this is what I've been doing for a long time. Like, this ain't new.
Did you ever question why you didn't see more LGBT in hip-hop?
See, I never look at it like that. Like, I never look at LGBT when I do music. Right. I don't stick in that box. You know what I mean?
You just do music.
I just do music.
You don't stick in the box. I'll get anything stuck in your box, young M.A.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Make sure you donate to UNICEF to help save children's lives this holiday season.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
Young MA's in the building.
You're also probably fortunate you didn't end up on Empire.
Oh, yeah.
You supposed to be on Empire?
Yeah.
You look like one of Lucius' kids. I can see that.
I was, you know, it's crazy. I wasn't even going to be his kid on the show. I was going to be the girl.
Pretty Gats?
Yeah. But the original, original name was Betty Bars. Mm-hmm. They wrote the script for me.
Wow.
Yeah, it was based off me.
Who'd you meet? Who'd you know over there?
I met Lee Daniels face to face.
At a pride parade?
No. Yeah, while I'm serious, though, I'm like, no. I'm thinking he about to say something.
Serious. I don't know when you met a pride parade.
You met him? Go ahead.
Nah.
How did you meet Lee Daniels?
I was in Swizz Beatz office, and my manager had low-key set something up because I already had turned it down before I met Lee Daniels. I denied it. I was like, nah, I don't want to be on it. I'm good. I'm going to tell y'all why. And we wound up meeting with Swizz Beatz in his office, and here comes walking in Lee Daniels. Mm. I didn't really know who he was, you know what I mean, at the time. I just was like...
Who's this fabulous man that just walked in?
Yeah, he was real fabulous when he walked in, you know what I mean? You could tell he got a demeanor about him. He pulls out the script, he says, let's go. I'm going to see where it leads, you know what I mean? So I remember I wasn't doing too good or whatever, so Swizz Beatz brought me out to his balcony and was like, yo, just give him you. Don't worry about it being like, you know, on a show or feeling like it's a script and you got to read it from the script. He was like, just be yourself. Mm-hmm. So I came back out, you know, gave him me, and he loved it. But I still wasn't really with it because I knew Empire was going to put me in a position where I'm known from Empire as this character, and I'm not known from Young and May from Brooklyn building on my music.
You'd have been Betty Bars.
I would have been Betty Bars. Yeah. Everybody would have been, like, right now, y'all would have called me up, like, we got Betty Bars on the show.
Yeah, because Drew, Frida Gats,
It's always free to guess.
And she cool as hell.
I do know her.
I just can't remember her real name right now. I'm trying to think
but
of
But I know her more.
Breezy, right?
Yeah, you know her, but it's a lot of other people that know her as.
But I will say, and then I heard, but I don't know what her situation is, but I know they make you sign a contract, and it might have something to do with your music also.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I know.
I didn't want to get too deep in that, but that was a big reason why.
No, because when Quincy was up here, he was saying that he couldn't, his father, Diddy, would not let him do it.
Thank God for my lawyer. The contracts just put the icing on the cake.
Right.
Now, how does a young artist build an online buzz? Because I would assume your career really popped off because of the internet.
Right.
Is there a science to it?
Stay consistent. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean? They'll eventually wake up. Got to be nice. You know what I mean? You can't be trash, right. Of course. But just be consistent, man.
How long did it take for Ooh to...
Not that long. Man. That's what's crazy.
Yeah, that's quick.
Ooh, so you came. Did a video for it and everything, too?
Yeah, right? Video. Yeah. Video is at like 7 million now.
I like the fact that your sexuality is not overshadowing your music. Like,
right.
People is like, Young M.A.'s dope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nice. Now, would you sign to a major or not?
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not totally out of the equation. I've been sitting with mad labels, like big dope. For the past 2 weeks now, I'm just hearing everybody out and just trying to choose my decision wisely.
I just don't want them to try to change it. I don't want them to be on some old school, like, telling you, you gotta dress like this.
Come on, man.
I think now you can...
I got past that point already. Right. Like, I was in that position in my life at one point, you know what I mean, where it was like, you might have to do this or sound like this or talk about this, you know what I mean? When I got to a point where I just like, I don't care. I'm going to be gay. I'm going to talk about, you know what I mean? I just got to that point, so...
You can dictate what you want now because what you have going on is working.
Established.
If you're on board with what I'm doing and my movement.
Yeah, cool. That's it. If you can't, exactly.
What's your ink mean? Why you got? When did you start getting ink? When did you start falling in love with the tat?
My first tat was R.I.P. Kenneth. That's my brother.
That's your older brother or younger brother?
Yeah, he's my older brother.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I just made this whole arm about him.
How did he influence you?
He was the reason why I played football. I was a tomboy playing basketball. He probably was the reason why I like girls.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest influence in my life. Like, so when he died, it was like a big rip, you know what I mean, from my chest. And I just, you know, right now, I just make sure I do it in his memory. Like, this is why I go so hard, and this is why nobody can change my mind on certain, because I'm stuck with, you know, his memory in my mind. So
that's like, your only sibling?
No, I have a little sister, too, and I have a brother on my father's side.
But he was kind of the guy that you probably could trust the most. So did you have trust issues after that? Like just trust him?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a lot of trust issues once I found out about that situation. I was already not really a trusty type person.
Yeah, is it just me?
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. The holidays are a time for giving.
So make a difference and donate to help save children's lives this holiday season.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. We got a special guest in the building.
The man of the hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nate Parker's in the building.
What's up, what's up?
Two things I thought I would never see on a Hollywood screen is Luke Cage in any form and Nat Turner in a movie.
Right.
I've been screaming for a Nat Turner movie because I don't like slave movies. Mm-hmm. I've been denounced them. I said, if you're going to make any slave movie, let it be Nat Turner, because Nat Turner wasn't a victim. Right. And you got it done.
Well, let's explain Nat Turner, too, for people that don't know, because I've never learned it in my history books. It wasn't anything that I've ever read. And
right.
I went to Hampton University, which is an HBCU. I've been in Hampton. I know you're from Norfolk.
Mm-hmm.
So what made that so special to you, that story?
Well, a lot of it is what you just said. I grew up in Norfolk, 42 miles east of Southampton County, where the revolt happened, and I never heard about this brother, right?
So really?
Yeah, I never heard about him. We
learned about it growing up, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never learned about it in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's significant because when you think of the proximity, you would think that someone would have said something. Mm-hmm. But it speaks to the danger of the revolutionary, you know, the person that looks like us that fought for his own freedom. We don't get those stories. Like you said, you know what I mean? Like, even when we learn about slavery, we learn through the context of
the victim.
A victim. And honest, we laid down until Honest Abe said enough is enough. You know, Honest Abe couldn't tell a lie, molding his chin, pensive. Slave problem, we got to figure it out. Pick us up, and now we're free.
Right.
You know, we don't learn about, you know, Toussaint. We don't learn about Denmark Vesey. We don't learn about Gabriel Prosser. We don't learn about any of them, right? And so you have to ask yourself, why is that? Why is our history being hid? The things that would empower us. You know what I mean? And I mean, even when I was trying to make this film, people were like, if you make this film, bro, like, it's going to be a problem. Like, don't make this film. Like, black people, like, prominent directors was like, make the story of John Brown. You know, John Brown's a white abolitionist that led a slave revolt. Mm-hmm. It's like, that'll be easier for people to digest. You know what I mean? I had another prominent black director told me, he was like, well, I liked your script, but I didn't love it. One thing would have made me love it. And I was like, what? You know, I got my notebook out.
Right.
And he said, you need more good white people.
Wow.
I was like, what do you mean? He was like, white people ain't gonna watch that, man. Ain't gonna watch that shit. Ain't gonna
but it was the 1800s. It's a period piece.
And yeah. It was America. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, when it comes to other demographics that have endured torture and genocide and Holocaust, let's never forget. You know what I mean? It's very important that we hold those stories up so they never repeat themselves. But in this country, we have this habit of kind of closing off the things that don't reflect us in the best of lights. You know, so in telling the story, you know, I said, man, I learned about Nat Turner at 21. Mm-hmm. But if I'd have learned about him at 12.
How did you learn about him at 21?
African-American studies class. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they made you read The Confessions of Nat Turner?
I did read that. Okay. You know, and it's funny because Confessions is fiction. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like a...
I always wondered about that. Somebody told me that before.
It won a Pulitzer, which is tricky because it won the Pulitzer for fiction. Mm-hmm. But the writer, he said it's a reimagining of Nat Turner's life. It's not Nat Turner's life. So when you read The Fires of Jubilee, you know, or William Drury's book, Southampton Insurrection, and you read the real stuff, you're like, wait a minute.
Well, I need to read the real stuff. The only thing I ever read was The Confessions of Nat Turner.
But I'm going to tell you, it's a fiction book where it said, okay, well, Nat Turner, he all of his motivation came for his lust after the handmaid of his master, like a white woman. Like, that's why. And he was crazy. He was a fanatic. Mm-hmm. He was homosexual. Like, all these things that they made up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So when you get to the real, you're like, well, why would they denigrate his life? Why would they mysticize the things that actually happened when they had, like, why would they make it so he didn't have children or didn't have a wife?
Mm-hmm.
He had a wife. He had a child. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like the attack of the black man, the demonizing of the black man is something that ain't new. This is age old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we get to celebrate this story, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of people I grew up with went to prison, not here with us today, had that chip on their shoulder and had no context as to why or where, you know, they could put that energy. But heroes, when you can say, oh, no. Nat Turner rose and stood so I can stand.
Nat Turner was Django. Before Django.
The real Django.
Yeah, me and Chris Rock had a debate about that because he thought I was trying to insult Nat Turner by saying that. But the reason I love Django is because he wasn't a victim. Django burnt the plantation
down.
He
did. And he stood up and he was like, nah, it's not happening this way. I'll take it even a step further, though. Nat Turner said, I'm going to sacrifice on behalf of people that I'll never meet.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, biblically, it says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Right? Nat Turner was like, okay, I'm going to walk to these gallows, but I know that what I did will echo into eternity. We're celebrating Nat Turner. They skinned him. Lampshades out of his skin and purses, like, this is what they did.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like all, and they did what they did in the name of God. He did what he did in the name of God.
Were there certain things that you originally had in the movie that you felt like you had to take out, or people said, okay, maybe that's...
Nope. And it goes back to your question. Seriously, like you said,
right.
I didn't, you know, I went to Hollywood for money.
Everybody that said they passed, or how did you pay for it?
I knocked on doors, man. You know, I went to school. A lot of friends were in finance. Mm-hmm. You know, one guy in particular I contacted. He connected me to one of his friends that actually worked in New York that had a hedge fund. And I asked him for the money. He said no. I said, okay.
How much were you asking for?
Millions.
you got seven. You raised seven to get it done, right?
Yeah.
How much did you think you needed?
The budget said we needed like 30, right?
30 million?
To make it?
Oh, my. It's a battle film.
Yeah.
They said we needed
40
days. We shot in 27 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I knocked on doors. I went to anyone who would listen. My lowest contribution was like $75,000. My biggest contribution was like $2 million, you know, and the guy that gave me the $2 million, I just begged him. I stepped away from acting for 2 years. After I finished Beyond the Lights, that Monday I went into my team, was like, I'm not acting anymore, writing anything else. I'm not acting anything else. I'm not directing. Don't call me. The next skin I live in will be Nat Turner, period.
That's a different level of commitment, man.
That's commitment.
That's
belief in yourself.
Bruh, it was belief in God. Like, my faith really really reeled me in. The first $100,000 into this film was my own money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I had. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to put up $100,000, it hurt. You know what I mean? And talking to my wife, I was like, this is important. Like, I didn't know it would be $100,000.
What was her stance at this point?
Because
now
she's
like, baby, you ain't working and you want to take everything?
And we got lights, you know, that
they
need
got
to
kids.
Be on, and kids need to be turned on. But she had faith, man. She was just like, you know, the Lord's called you to do this. You know, I got your back.
Mm-hmm. That's very Nat Turner-esque in itself.
Yeah, you know.
I was going to say, like, Nat Turner was the chosen one.
Right.
From when he was a child, from
That's
when he was
right.
born. Did you feel like you were a chosen one in telling the story? It was something that you were kind of born to do?
I felt like it was written on my spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't say I'm chosen. I just felt like, you know how you like, you know what? You know, we all struggle and wrestle with our faith and try to get strong and whatever that means. And I was like, you know what, Lord? Like, I feel like you want me to tell this story. How many times can you get offered Crip number 4 or Blood number 2? You know what I'm saying? At some point, you're like, man, there's got to be something better, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, I go a whole year
and pass on 50 projects and there'd be one great debaters. Now I got to compete against the whole world to get that.
Right.
And then hope that Denzel sees something in me that works. At some point, you're like, man, well, what is the story I want to tell? If I could tell any story I want, what would it be? Mm. Nat Turner. Why? That's Braveheart. Mm. We never had a Braveheart.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we have more with Nate Parker. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne Tha God here, and I just want to wish a Merry Christmas to all my credit card scammers out there. Tis the season to find you a scammer friend so you can save some money in any major department store in America.
Woo! The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're standing with UNICEF to give hope to the children first.
We need you to help make a difference by donating to help save children's lives.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF. Join the movement and give this holiday season with The Breakfast Club.
We have Nate Parker in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
I honestly don't know who's demonizing you at this point because I see it from all angles. Because I'm going to tell you a story. I remember maybe a month before I saw the movie, had an OG, triple OG in the game hit me up. And he goes, look, we got to support this film. He said they're going to try to crucify Nate Parker.
Yeah.
And then 2-3 weeks later, all the different allegations came out. It was, oh, he got a white wife. It was, oh, he's homophobic. It was, oh, he has rape charges. Did you expect that to happen?
Let's just say I was warned early on by, you know, people in the industry, people that love me, people that I love, that just said, you know, are you ready for what may come with this film? You know, it's like, it's look, I'm going to say, look, you know, how you rediscover something you already knew? I've never hid anything from my life. I never ran from nobody in my life. And I'm not going to run now. No one's going to stop me from telling stories that I think uplift my people. They're just not going to do it. They can come for me. That's okay. I'm a grown-up. I'm a man. I'm so anchored in the Lord, bro. My faith is so strong that I'm not tripping. I know the power of Nat Turner and what he can do for our people, what he can do for America. What happens if we start celebrating Nat Turner as a hero in this country? You know, look, the African-American museum just opened. Nat Turner's Bible. Right, George Bush said, you know, Nat Turner. George Bush said it out of his mind. Like, what happens if it becomes normal to celebrate everyone of every color that has contributed to the narrative of this country?
Right.
Things will change. Privilege will be challenged, but things will change.
Does it piss you off, though? Because we were watching your Good Morning America interview, and you looked like, all right, enough is enough.
You look like you on the screen. Put some respect on my name.
Yeah, like, enough of Nate
Parker.
Because they showed some of the stuff that you went through when you were in college. You look like, come on now.
I'll just say this. Posters out there, I'll probably get in trouble. It was an ambush, you know.
It looked like an ambush. It looked like you didn't know what was going to be on the screen.
Happened.
It looked like, what the
fuck? Look, you know, because this is bigger than me. Nat Turner is so much bigger than me. Like, in my 36-year-old life, and anything you could ever dig up or whatever. Nat Turner?
Did you feel like it would be in jeopardy at any point?
The film?
Yeah, just with everything coming up, like, we can't put this out. Because I remember thinking, oh, man, are they going to try to not put the movie out now?
There's a verse in the Bible that says, I tell you these things so that you will find peace in me. You know, in the world, there will be tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. God is God. The same God that helped me to make this film, same God that got me through, you know, whatever obstacles I have in my life, the same God that's made it so people will be able to gain something, perspective, young people. 50 years from now, some 10-year-old kid is going to be able to watch this film in the same way that they used the original Birth of a Nation as a recruitment tool for the KKK. We're going to use it as a recruitment tool for revolution and resistance for people that recognize something needs to change. That's bigger than me.
Right.
If I die today and the film can live, I'm not tripping. I'm good, bro. I'm in such peace right now because this film exists. Right. So for me, it's kind of like, okay, well, cool. Let's get the film out. Okay, cool. All right, fine. Let's get the film out. Okay, yeah, next question.
I mean, I think we've all been guilty of it. It judges your character. You know,
right.
When we hear Nate Parker, we hear this accusation. Mm. His friend is this, his friend is that.
Right.
That has to affect you in a way because now people who don't know you might look at you at a different light.
But guess what? We gotta rise up to the 10,000-foot view,
right?
Mm-hmm. Like, when you're in a moment and you're set on fire, it's easy to be like, oh, my God, I'm on fire, right? But when you rise up to the 10,000-foot view and you see the Lord's resume, everything that's happened up until that moment, and you looking forward and say, okay, this moment will cause a reaction forward, then you realize, look, this is bigger than my character. People will get to know me. They'll get to know my heart. You know what I mean? I'm cool with that. I'm cool. I didn't know you guys until I knew you. I didn't know you until I knew you.
Right.
If I could go out and meet every single person and glad hand and shake their hand, would I do it? Yeah, I can't do that. I'm going to let my art, let my activism, speak in ways that my mouth on these shows with these headline hunters and these clickbait people, I'm going to let them do that thing. I'm not tripping on the news.
I feel, this is just me talking, I feel like it was a conspiracy by some powers that be to derail the release of the film. Because all of this information has been out there. It's been public. You were found not guilty. You spoke about it before. Why now? That's all I want to know. Like, why now?
You know what? You know, there's some people that say, you know, why me? And then there's some people that say, well, what can come out of this moment? You know, and I try to be the latter. I try to be the person that says, regardless of the moment, what can change because of these actions? Mm-hmm. Because look, if people forever kick dirt on me, forever, but this film exists by itself, and in 100 years, when I'm dead and gone, they got this film, we win. We all win.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we release this film, right, and all the old heads see it, and all the old heads are like, yeah, we get it, we're moving forward, and the kid in Bed-Stuy, the 15-year-old kid, don't know who Nat Turner is still, Oakland, or the kid in Decatur, doesn't know, we lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to the dopest artist I could find, Gucci Mane, and talked to him on the phone. I said, brother, I know you care about your community.
Yeah,
I
didn't understand that.
I haven't heard Gucci the music, so I'm not going to judge it, but I didn't understand
but
the Gucci,
a lot of different
Lil Wayne.
On the album.
Well, you got to hear the music.
Yeah,
this is the thing. Look. Guess what? Gucci got the streets. Lil Wayne got the streets. I don't have the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And even what they're talking about on that particular song.
Did you listen to it?
Socially conscious stuff?
Yes!
Okay,
listen, everyone is on message. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You got 2 Chainz on message talking about go up to the State House, tell them to revise the system.
Okay.
2 Chainz. You know what I mean? It's like, if you can get them on message, because as you know, music in a way has been corporatized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the politics around making music and who we're making it for and who's consuming it, a lot of times it doesn't help our people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times in this country, they give a little bit to a few and then tell those few to kind of be happy with what you got and turn your back and your power against the people that need it the most. I mean, there are things that happen. It happens in my industry, too. So if I can get people that do care about the community but don't have the platform to release it.
Right.
So I had the chance to sit with all these guys, you know, Vic Mensa, all of them, you know, Trey Songz, Neo, everyone is on message talking about the system, talking about oppression, talking about faith.
That's dope, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Lil Wayne was like, I got to feed the family, but I had to leave the family. I left CMB. I'm an amputee, but I would never leave Christianity.
I heard Iggy Azalea submitted a track, but you turned it down.
I didn't turn anything down. you know, it's like anything else. Things, like everyone that wants to be on your show can't get on a show.
Oh, Iggy really submitted a track?
No.
Oh, I'm about to say
that. I was like, I thought he made that up.
I'm like, what?
No. I'm saying that I'm trying to be fair.
Cool.
A lot of people submitted albums, but we really, you know, when you track list, when you make a track list, you want to make sure everything fits. Nas has an incredible song called War.
See, that's on brand.
Huh?
Nas
Birth of a Nation,
that's on brand.
But why would you do something obvious? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
at
some point, like, if I can get Lil Wayne, you know, to talk about the streets in the context of message, and then a young person is like, wait a minute, did Lil Wayne just say that?
Right.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You have one more day to make your tax-deductible donation in 2016.
Make use of your tax-deductible donation before it's too late with this easy UNICEF donation.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
We have Nate Parker in the building. Now, Charlamagne?
Are you, I don't want to say concerned, that this movie will cause some type of revolt now? Because this could be a dangerous time to put this
movie
out.
Let me be clear. It's a quotable. I hope it makes people uncomfortable. I hope that it inspires a riotous disposition.
Mm.
Now, do I want violence? Absolutely not. We're above that now. Why do we need to be violent when we got journalists, we got radio personalities that have power, we have social media?
But that's not like the same old song. Media is not, but everything else sounds like the same old song.
Watch this. Nat Turner had axe handles and broomsticks, right? And he didn't have the right to assemble. So what does that mean? That means what we're doing right now in this room would have been illegal and we would all have been lynched.
Right.
Mm. Well, we do have a white man in the room.
He's Cuban. He's Cuban.
Oh, good. I couldn't see your whole face. Good. As soon as I said that, he was like,
no.
You're wrong. But the right, we didn't have the right to assemble.
Yeah, right.
It's right here, dead, right?
Right.
Nat Turner, out of that, only tools he had, his only reaction, he couldn't have been like, I'm calling a meeting. Everybody on the plantation, we gonna strike.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We gonna protest and walk around the main house. Like, he couldn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So he fought and the tools he had. You look now, right? The power we have, you look at like Colin Kaepernick. Like, I always say when athletes get involved, it's a wrap. Like, things are gonna change because we're messing with the money. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, so if nothing else, they walk out of that film and says, I'm going to use my occupation to spearhead the systemic crisis I see in my own life, mm-hmm. my own community, things will change immediately. Does that mean marching? Maybe. Does it mean more than marching? Does it mean some people saying, nah, I ain't going to do that? I'm going to walk into my producer and tell him, I'm not saying that thing ever again. Mm-hmm. What? And sacrificing because mm-hmm. I might get fired. You know, is it whatever your occupation, what is your contribution? I want people, you know, the biggest difference, I believe, between the civil rights movement of old and the civil rights movements of new is that people aren't willing to die. Mm-hmm. Anything that's ever done anything for our community that actually resulted in progress had to take a bullet to their head.
The good thing about the movie, too, is like when you say systemic oppression, I like that because it's not just saying white people, because they had to go battle against their own who was on the side of systemic oppression as well.
That's exactly right. You're absolutely right, brother. Frederick Douglass has this dope quote where he says, when I became free, I began to see the effects slavery had not only on slave, but on slave masters. Mm. Right? Like everyone around us has been passed down something, this trauma, mm. this wound that we won't let heal. We won't face it. We just won't because it's too uncomfortable. It's too painful. Man, how many times have you heard someone say, like in politics, you know, we got to have the race conversation? Have you ever had the race conversation with like, have we ever been like, okay, everyone, this is race conversation day. Race conversation day is going to be October 10th, right? Call your friends, order pizza, you know, and Coke and Coca-Cola. And when, right. come
yeah,
over to the,
that. Right, yeah,
right. Come over to the house, headline, like, hey, Parker. Encourage people. No, come over, we're going to have a conversation on race. Right. Invite people that don't look like you, we're going to come to the table, we're going to eat and be like, yo, so... race, like, you know,
what do you
white
think?
Privilege. What do you think? No one's having that conversation.
Right.
You know, so at some point, you know, they say if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. America's always doing what they always done. That's shutting people up. That's attacking the people that resist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem for America. I always say a healthier black community, healthier Latino community is a healthier United States of America.
Do you think your past rape charges will cause people not to see this movie with an objective eye? Because I saw an article in the New Yorker where the author didn't give it the best review, but it kept mixing with the movie. And I'm like...
Listen. Presumed dangerous and guilty. Like, that's... You know, the attack is the attack. You know, you know what I'm saying? I think anyone that thinks it's important to hear stories that have been erased from history that can aid in our progress as America... needs to see this film, in my humble opinion, right? Take me out of it. Whatever you feel about me, whatever you feel about my acquittal, whatever you feel about my innocence, or whatever you have. Right. Just for a second, recognize, if you call yourself a patriot, I think you have to take steps toward healing America. And if this film stands for something like that outside of me, then let's have that conversation. Mm-hmm. Let's not take the baggage of whatever you've read in a headline and just say, I'm going to see what the film does.
Can a black man ever be not guilty in America? Even you're acquitted, you're not guilty, but even when you was on 60 Minutes, they was like, he should have apologized. I'm like, but he's maintained his innocence and got found not guilty. What do you want him to apologize for?
It's a question worth asking, but at the same time, I think that we're more concerned about how we've been conditioned to see ourselves and less concerned about how other people see us, then we'll be able to really deal with crisis. We have to make ourselves smaller for the bigger picture. Nat Turner made himself small. You know, it doesn't say a good man makes sure his name is good when he dies. Like, I'm not tripping on me. Mm. You know, everything I'm doing for my children and my children's children so that when they look up at that image of me, wherever it is, and I'm in hopefully looking fly in the oil painting, they can be like, you know what, man, my dad tried. You know, my great-great-great, you know, whatever. He tried to do something. He tried to deal with it. Even if they say they came for him, whatever, but he tried to do something.
Mm-hmm. They definitely try to divide.
Yeah.
Definitely try to divide.
But that ain't new, man. That ain't new. Like, all I'm saying is, can we
try to start with women and African-American women and have women against you? And then, you know, with the headlines, they definitely try to divide.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to me that a black man can't be black if he's married to a white woman. That's the picture they try to paint.
Look, all I'm saying is this. Look at my resume. Do I care about black people? Do I care about systemic oppression? Have I dedicated anything to raising all ships when it comes to progressing the conversation around America? I don't have to answer that question. You know what I mean? I will continue. Like I said, no one's going to take my seed, what I believe the Lord has put in me to do for our community, to do for our country. I'm just staying the course and staying focused, man, and the hope that, you know, what's the next project? You know,
that's what I was going to ask you. What's next for Nate Parker now after you put out such a huge movie?
Something with Tyler Perry, because you're going to have to move Hollywood
out.
What comes next?
You know how to put him in a dress. Listen, all right, look, I'm going to say this publicly, all right?
Leave Tyler Perry alone. He's a friend of mine, and he's a good brother.
Did he give you some money?
He did not give me money, but he's a good brother. He's a good brother. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to do something. You know, whatever makes me as passionate about, you know, doing the work and the art as this has. You know, like I said, I stepped away 2 years to really get it together. So the next thing, who knows? The next thing might take 8 more years. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, my art is a function of my activism, man. I'm not tripping on Hollywood. I'm not tripping on money. I'm not tripping on awards. Like, I just want to wake folks up. If I can get a 10-year-old kid to have a, you know, walking down the street playing with his friends, I'm Nat Turner.
Right.
We win. That's the biggest win of them all. So
yeah, until he's chasing four little white kids around with an axe handle. I'm Nat Turner. I'm Nat Turner. Whoa.
We appreciate you joining us.
Oh, come on.
We really appreciate it.
I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the time, man.
It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What up, y'all? It's DJ Envy.
Hey, I'm Angela Yee.
And I go by the name of Charlamagne Tha God, and we just want to say happy holidays from all three of us.
All three of y'all.
The Breakfast Club. Hola,
controller. Charlamagne, say the gang, dunk it, utter shame. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yeah, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Yes, Donkey of the Day
goes to GOP nominee Donald J. Trump. Now, listen, I don't do selective morality. Even though I'm giving Trump this donkey, I'd be a hypocrite acting like I haven't talked like this about women. But I'm not running for leader of the free world, and Donald Trump is. Therefore, he got to get this hee-haw. Now, I'm sure you've heard Donald Trump's comments about grabbing on pussy cats, but if you haven't, we got the clip right. Here you go.
I got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the... Ooh, nice legs, huh?
Now, let's be clear. That's sexual assault. It may not seem like it because a lot of that behavior we have normalized in our society, but if you, you know, walk up to a girl and kiss her without her consent, or God forbid, walk up to her and grab her pussycat without consent, that's a charge, sir. Okay, if you have ever grabbed a woman's ass in the club or at school without her consent, that's sexual assault. I know, you don't look at it like that because it's been so normalized, but it is. Now, for me, I watched Trump on Friday night make those comments, and I laughed. And I said, that's foul. But immediately my conscience kicked in and said, you are being a hypocrite right now because you have said worse publicly and privately about women. So I told myself, damn, you're right. So this is a moment to learn. It's a classic example of the mirror effect, okay? We look at somebody mirroring and displaying the same behavior that you have, and you get to see yourself in a different light. All these Trump comments did was make me want to monitor how I speak to and about women. Now, why are these comments so dangerous coming from Trump? Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely, and Donald Trump is running for the most powerful position in the land, okay? Donald Trump already has a level of privilege because he's filthy rich, a reality star, and he's a white male, okay? Those three combinations is what makes him feel like he can sexually assault a woman simply because he can, all right? You don't want to give somebody like that the keys to the largest military in the world. But why are we still surprised at Donald Trump's antics? He's not a politician. He's a reality show star, and he's been acting like one this whole time, but we keep putting lipstick on this pig and acting like it's not a pig. He's not a politician. Just because he's the GOP nominee, it means nothing. I can stand in a garage in a parking space, but that doesn't mean I'm a car, okay? These grab him by the pussycat comments is just the latest brick in a wall of vileness that Donald Trump has been building since this campaign started. Mm-mm. And you know why none of this seems to hurt Trump's momentum? You know why? Because he's not a politician and everybody knows it. He's a reality star. We're really not even grading him on the same scale we would a real politician. This is why I feel sorry for Hillary Clinton. Love her or hate her, she is the most experienced person for the presidency, but I feel sorry for her because we have to watch her try to prove herself against the executive producer of Celebrity Apprentice. Watching her debate Donald Trump is like watching LeBron James try to prove to America that he's a great basketball player by playing one-on-one against Peter Griffin from Family Guy. Like, it's not even remotely a fair matchup, but for whatever reason, America has made it that, and I don't understand why. But we here now. If Donald Trump loses this election, this will by far be the funniest, most entertaining presidential campaign we have ever seen. But if he wins, This will be no laughing matter. In fact, if Donald Trump wins, won't a damn thing be funny. So in November, I want you to go out and vote. Go out and grab this election by the pussycat. Be like Donald Trump and don't ask for consent when it comes to voting. Grab America's destiny by the pussycat and let's end this joke called Trump once and for all, please. Give Donald J. Trump the biggest hee-haw.
I don't know if you guys saw Giuliani trying to defend him also.
You're not even listening to Giuliani. Tell him to sit down and relax.
All right.
And yes, I will be monitoring my rhetoric towards women. I will monitor what I say to and about them. And I don't want to hear that, you know, oh, well, Charlamagne, you're not running for president talk. I don't care if you're running for president. I don't care if you're a radio personality, a rapper, a barber, a garbage man. Doesn't matter. We can all do better when it comes to how we talk to and about women.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Yes, my Hawaiian brother. We found out yesterday that DJ Envy's Hawaiian, by the way.
Envy is everything.
No, we did. I think he did one of those ancestry tests and we found out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, we found out he's Hawaiian.
I'm not Hawaiian.
Drop one of Coach Bob.
So you did that ancestry test?
I am not Hawaiian.
Aloha!
What's it called? 23. What is it called again?
23.
I'm not Hawaiian.
I forgot.
Don't ever come to me.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. And she's back!
Carol Stern!
That's right.
You know what that means.
That's our friend now.
You gotta get that money up.
All right.
That's right.
What do we need to do to hit that goal?
We need to give, and we need to give big.
Now, we didn't even introduce you to UNICEF. She's the CEO of UNICEF.
I said CEO of UNICEF.
You did?
Yes.
I thought you just said she's back.
I did, and then I said she's UNICEF CEO.
No, you
CEO.
Didn't.
She, I did.
Angela was up.
You didn't say
okay,
it.
Okay, so I'm the CEO of UNICEF.
Thank
okay?
you.
Big right. dog.
Okay.
Thank you,
UNICEF
Carol,
USA. There we go. Right. There we go. Come on, guys. And you need, you know, we all had a really good holiday, mm-hmm. and this is our chance to do something for somebody else. And there are kids around the world today that really need your help. #250. Keyword UNICEF, make a gift.
Now,
that's what I need.
This is a great present to actually give someone. Because can I like donate in somebody else's name also?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can definitely do that. You know, #250, keyword UNICEF. You can make a gift in someone's honor. You can make a gift yourself. You can make the difference for a child somewhere
else
in the world.
Christmas just passed, so you can do it for like a New Year's resolution.
A New Year's resolution. Perfect. That's right. I love that.
Around this time of year, do you think people think it's the holidays, so they don't think they can give as much because they got other things on their mind, like presents and stuff like that?
No, I think, especially right after Christmas, we're all sitting there with the wrapping paper, you know, wrapping it up, throwing away,
thinking
getting it together.
Mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. End of year giving before that little tax break.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right at the end of the year, it's going to count for your taxes.
That's right. This is the time to do it. And also, you know, I know in my house, I looked around on that morning and I thought, how lucky are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got my kids surrounding me. I've got my husband sitting next to me. We're going to have a big dinner. And I know for kids around the world, that's just not happening.
And donations are, you can write it off on taxes for people out there, right?
You can totally write it off on taxes. And 90 cents of every dollar we collect goes to the children around the world.
Now, there was a rumor that your CEO is making over $1 million a year.
That's totally not true.
Okay,
totally
so.
Not. You know, and that rumor said I was driving a Rolls Royce. So I'll tell you, when that got texted out, I took a picture of me driving my Prius. And I texted it back, and I said, this is how I roll, fire your fact checker. And the person who texted that out said that he would make a gift. I'm still waiting
you know,
on
I hate stuff
Where
like
do
that, though.
Where do these fake stories come from?
I hate stuff like that because I feel like public servants should be treated like that. Like teachers,
Thank
doctors,
you.
People like you, military people, they should be millionaires. Like they should be riding around in Phantoms and stuff
they
like
would
that.
Want to. They would give their money to whatever.
But no, I'm saying we should treat them like that,
yeah.
and I think the services should be free, but that's a whole other story. It's a different level of socialism that I'm thinking
well,
about.
Well, there we go.
Yeah.
You know, no, you know, listen, I make a great salary. You can check it out on our 990. It's public knowledge. We're a public trust. But at the same time, you know, for people to make up rumors about nonprofits, I don't think they understand when you spread that.
Right.
You cost
You're
lives.
Hurting.
You cost actual lives. The person who would have made a gift who doesn't, $1 buys enough clean drinking water. Keep a kid alive for 20 days.
Wow.
So we lose $1, 20 days.
Wow.
All right. So every gift amount counts. Every donation that you can make counts right now. We have one day, right, to meet our goal?
One day.
One day.
We're going to do it, too.
Okay.
Listeners out there, we're going to do this.
How
I need
can they
you
donate
right
one
now.
More time? Tell them again.
#250. Keyword UNICEF.
Okay. Perfect.
And you can take, what's the minimum you can give?
I don't even think there is a minimum.
Oh, cool. So they can
cool.
give a
they,
dollar.
They can give
to.
A dollar and they can give a lot more. The more the merrier.
How much you giving, Charlamagne?
I throw a stack on it. I'll put $1,000. I'll put $1,000 in it.
You are amazing.
Angela,
you.
That means we all have to.
All right.
So we move as a
You guys are awesome.
$3,000 from the Breakfast Club.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We don't got to do it till the 31st, right? Before you
do it today. Today. Right now. Right now.
Make sure when I check your kick in. Is it today or tomorrow?
Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
He done cursed us out. Tell him, get it off your chest, Birdman.
I said it already. I ain't got to talk no more.
Because I don't understand the angle. Like what?
Said it already.
So why come here?
I did it already. I'm here. So what's happening?
I mean, it's all good, but I'm saying why?
And I'm here. What's happening?
I'm all good, but I'm saying why come here, man. Just
look,
to
I'm
curse
here.
Us
what's
up?
What's happening, man? I wanted to see you. I wanted to talk to you on your man and your face.
Absolutely.
You understand me? I knew a few places you was at. I could have pulled up, but I don't think that was gangster. I wanted to come look in your face like a man and tell you how I feel.
Okay.
You understand me? Straight up like a man.
So
no
what's
shit,
the issue?
No sugar. Ain't no issue. If it was an issue, you'll feel me. I just come to let y'all know, stop, put some respect on my name. You understand me? When y'all saying my name, put some respect on it.
Did you pull up on Ross that way or Trick Daddy?
Man, I'm pulling up on you, n***a.
Yeah, but I'm the radio guy. Why I pull up on the radio guy? Don't act tough with the radio guy.
I hate my name. Y'all finished or y'all done? I ain't got no more talking. Let's rock.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, grand opening, grand closing.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Nah, we good. You know,
there you have
man,
it.
Man, what about all my notes?
We good. That's it. Quickest man. Breakfast Club interview ever.
That. Well, that's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Interview ever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, if you just joined us, Birdman came up here and the interview didn't go that way.
You knew it was going to go that way.
It was very quick.
He was very upset.
From our understanding behind the scenes, he wanted to just come and address some things.
Yeah, he wanted to come. They said he was excited to come, that he wanted to come talk to us.
Listen,
that
man.
He wanted to get some things off his chest, and he did. So let's actually play, because we were, you know, as soon as you walk into this room, we start taping immediately, because we never know.
Yeah, because there's always some good stuff before or after. And my, go, let's play. Let's
so,
play.
So this is what happened.
What happened when Birdman, as soon as he walked in.
As soon as he walked in.
Y'all ready?
Yes, sir.
I want to start this off straight, telling all three of y'all, stop playing with my name.
Let's go on there. Let's go.
Stop playing with my f***ing name.
Let's go. Let's do it on camera.
Stop playing with my name.
Let's
I ain't
go right on there.
No. When my name come up, respect it.
Let's go.
Stop playing with my f***ing name. All three of y'all, stop playing with my name. I ain't going to say it no more.
Here we go. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee.
All right.
Now, the reason I kept saying let's go is because the cameraman was taking his time.
We don't waste no good content.
I was like, let's go.
You will not come in here and curse us out, and we're not going to get it on camera.
We're not taping.
And not get it on the radio.
We were trying to tape it quick. The cameraman was taking his time.
But what happened was Birdman came in here and tried to curse us out.
Right.
To shake up the interview before the interview started.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that the interview would be sweet, but it wouldn't have been. We just still asked the questions we wanted to ask.
Right.
But he tried to do the intimidation thing. Came in here with like seven guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And my thing is, yo, anything I've ever said about a person on the radio, I'm going to say to their face.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking if you come in here, you come in here to address those issues.
Right.
That right there, to me, that was some sucker stuff.
Yeah, that's anything we do up here. If we talk about you or make a comment about you, when you come up here, we're going to make that same comment.
I don't like to come up here just trying to show out on the tough guys.
Sometimes people try to plan to come up here and do certain things.
Don't try to be tough to the radio guys, especially when people like Trick Daddy has been up here. What
right.
did Trick Daddy have to say about Birdman? Let's
play the audio.
I've done business with Birdman.
Mm-hmm.
Some are good, some is bad. I just think when you're trying to be a CEO and you're trying to be a rapper and you're trying to be a ladies' man and you're trying to be a girlfriend. And you trying to be
a girlfriend.
A crip and a blood.
You trying to be a girlfriend.
Why do you call them a girlfriend?
I don't know. That's what they said.
Oh, you mean
like
a
like DJ Khaled. I got it from the screen.
Okay, and Ross was up here.
Right, Ross was up here talking
about Birdman. What
he had
Ross
a beef
say?
Between Wayne and him, and he spoke about it. What's your relationship with Birdman?
I don't have one with Birdman. For me to see the way things are transpiring, I can't respect that, and I don't respect it.
Have you had that convo with Birdman, boss to boss? Like, yo, you need to treat your people better?
Not at all. I mean, that's what I wanted to build my team after, the way they kids was molding together, the way they family was.
Right.
So for me to see this, that's a no-go. They know how I play. Birdman know how I get down. He was in Miami a long time. He know Double M active.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. This year is a time of giving. So make sure you donate to UNICEF to help save children's lives this holiday season.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF, to make a donation.
The People's Choice Mix is coming up, so get your request in at 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
What up, y'all? It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're standing with UNICEF to give hope to the children first.
We need you to help make a difference by donating to help save children's lives.
Use your cell phone to dial #250 and say the keyword UNICEF. That's #250, keyword UNICEF. Join the movement and give this holiday season with The Breakfast Club.
What do you think about Birdman's approach? Let's start in the room. I was kind of geeked out because they called me a couple of weeks ago and they said Birdman wanted to do the interview. And I was hyped. I was like, that's great. This would be great for the culture, you know, because we don't really get to talk to Birdman and see the history and see everything that's going on, for him not paying his artists allegedly, to, you know, him kissing Wayne allegedly, to all that stuff.
They called me at 4 a.m. and said, are you going to be here on this day? Birdman wants to come. I said, absolutely. Because, I mean, listen, I have no problem with the confrontation. Confrontations ain't never scared me in no way, shape, or form. Anything I said about you on the radio, I'm going to say to your face, period. So I wasn't stressing on that. But I thought that it would have went better than that. But I always say you can never tell somebody how to react.
True.
So I can't sit here and say that the way he reacted was wrong.
Right.
I just don't respect it. Because if you got an issue, let's talk about the issue. Don't come in here with 7 dudes trying to intimidate people. Because you ain't pull up on Ross like that.
Mm.
You ain't pull up on Trick like that.
Mm.
Don't pull up on the radio guys acting tough. I cannot stand when these artists come in here and try to act tough with us. Go act tough with the people that's out here acting tough. Okay? Now, don't
Angela,
do that.
Angela, yeah, you got your notes all prepared and you was all ready like
a
journalist.
Well, here's the thing. I don't understand what he's mad about, because I feel like if you really don't mess with us, then you shouldn't have came up here.
No, I can see why he's mad.
But
I
mean, I'm saying you shouldn't have came up here.
I can see why he's mad.
If you want to confront, let's have a conversation. Now, I don't feel like I've ever spoken poorly. I've interviewed Birdman before.
Me too.
At my former job. Great interview. And I was very prepared for this one. I had a lot of things we wanted to talk about, discuss.
But you know,
I thought it was going to be great. But I'm thinking maybe in the rumor report, there's certain things that I don't make up, but maybe report
on, I mean,
that
listen,
he doesn't like.
I know for me, I talked about him breaking up with Wayne and then hooking up with Thug. You know what I'm saying? We never stopped talking about him kissing Wayne in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Artists and bills that he allegedly doesn't pay. We've definitely discussed that. You know, I got calls from his people yesterday saying that he was upset because he feels like whenever I say things like, why would you sign with Birdman? He don't pay nobody. It messes his business up. I can understand that. That's understandable.
But, you know, I didn't care. I wanted him to come up here and clear it up. Me and Bird was cool. We were on tour with each other. He actually offered me a deal last year to sign me to Cash Money last year.
You'd have been
dumb
enough.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, you offered me a deal.
Listen. And I talked to him about Jay Electronica previously. He had wanted to sign him because he's from New Orleans also. I don't know.
So let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this your boy Keith J from the DMV, man.
What's up?
I'm Straight Entertainment.
What do you think about Birdman's approach, man? Was it justified?
Nah, he just wanted to, you know, pop off on the cameras and everything. I mean, if he was going to do something, like you said, he'd see you in the streets. He should have just kept the interview going and said what he had to say, but it's all about entertainment. It's just like WWE. I mean, I'm a rap fan for life, but it's entertainment. It's the media industry.
It's a disgusting business.
But I wish he would have cleared everything up. I wish we'd have had a chance to talk to him about all those things.
I don't ever want to talk to Birdman. I'm cool on Birdman. They was calling me yesterday, trying to get us on the phone and all that. I'm good. I didn't know Birdman before this. I don't need to know Birdman after this. God bless him. I wish him the best. I'm cool on Birdman.
I spoke to Birdman after that, and he did apologize, and he said he would love to come back up here and talk to us, and he said he wanted to talk to you face to face as well.
No, that wasn't happening. They called me for that yesterday too. They wanted to meet face to face. I'm like, nope. He was like, can y'all get on the phone? I'm like, man, let me call y'all back. So y'all are hearing me say it now. I'm cool on Birdman. Okay. I don't need to have no conversations with Birdman. Didn't know him before this. Don't need to know him after this. God bless him.
Birdman's justified.
Please, first of all, like Charlamagne said, for you to take the time to come to the radio station to address me, that's not being a man. You told him that you've seen him plenty of times, but you never addressed him. And then the fact that he was addressing all three of you guys, including a female, a little Spanish female, was straight up.
You Spanish now?
I think she's talking about Envy.
Oh, Envy is the Spanish female.
No,
oh,
you
gosh,
are the Spanish female.
No, I wasn't saying Envy a female. I'm sorry, Envy. I wasn't saying you a female. I would have just said it like that. But no, I'm
shut
saying,
up.
All right, go ahead.
So you,
it's just whack. Because if you was a man, you would have pulled him to the side when you seen him, but you waited till you got on the radio station to say a 5-second interview. Like, come on. Prince died. We ain't worried about you.
Hello, who's this?
just kind of...
Birdman's approach, was it justified?
No, man. Not at all, man. Come on, man. What you coming at Charlamagne for, man? You know, I'm from Savannah, man. We kick it with Charlamagne. He right across the bridge.
Yes, sir.
All right, bro.
Yes, sir.
Well... What's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is Birdman wasn't wrong. Because I always tell y'all, you can never tell somebody how they should react to a certain situation. But I know for me, I'm cool on Birdman.
But like I said, he did call after the show and he apologized. He said he wanted to come back up.
Did you accept his apology?
Nothing bothers me. I don't care. I mean, the fact that we was able to get it on air is what made my
day.
I love that Envy tried to act like nothing happened right before the mics went on. Okay, hold on.
No, I was trying to get it. I was trying to get it on air. Like, you talking behind the scenes does nothing for our listeners. I want our listeners to see everything, every aspect, everything that happens. That's why I was trying to get the cameraman to hurry up.
I would love to know what it is that really in particular has him upset, though.
I don't care.
The fact that Charlamagne said that, why would you sign the Birdman? Because he don't pay.
Listen.
He was like, he felt like that messes up his money because a lot of artists might, like, I won't sign him.
God bless Birdman. I didn't know Birdman before this. I don't need to know him after this. No need to call my phone and ask to holler and all that. I'm cool on Birdman 5-star. Okay. Good luck to him. I wish him the best. He's had a great life. He will continue to have a great life with or without the Breakfast Club. But my thing is, don't come here if you really don't want to address issues and get things off your chest. Don't come in here and try to curse us out with 7 dudes and intimidate people and do the old fake guy 1990s tough rapper thing. That is whack.
He just might have had a bad morning, man. He might have just, who knows?
Well, let's pop bottles.
Stupid ass. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Go, go, go.